Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Whew. Oh, Jesus, help us. All right. Do y'all remember where we stopped last week?
No.
No. Everybody's telling me no today. Like a kid, that ain't right. I'm going to start pouting in a little bit. But anyway, it's good to see everyone. If you will go, let's start out in Hebrews 12, and we'll start there, and then we'll go to, we're talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus, and we've covered two Sundays. And last Sunday we stopped at, I think we was in Matthew's 11 and 28, and Hebrews 12 and 3. Okay, that's where we stopped at, but we're going to continue on, okay? All right. So far, what does it mean to you to keep your eyes on Jesus, to fix your eyes on Jesus? Let's start out with a question this morning. What does it mean to you?
Try and stay focused on him, because it's when you get your eyes off of him that you start looking at everything going on around you, and that's where you can start having issues and stuff.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. Keep us focused. Good. Anybody else? Brother Lee.
Keeping, you know, reverence in each situation that we're in.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay.
Makes your life much easier.
Good. That's a good one. Yes.
Well, in context, looking to Jesus, the founder and protector, author and finisher of everything, who for the joy, there's your qualifier.
Okay.
The joy that we said before, endure the cross, despite the shame, that's the right hand of God. Then you're going into how people endured bad things.
Yeah.
For the sake of Christ.
Right.
So basically, it's like, if you're not drawing close to him and remembering that, you might have a hard time giving it up.
Okay. All right. Okay, good.
Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the main man, is just life.
Life.
In general, you can't
get yeah.
through the things you go through without him. You can't
yeah.
have the joy and the peace that you need. It's just everyday life.
Okay, I like that. Because that's what it really comes down to. It's everyday life. You know, living with Jesus, everyday life. You know, and some people say, well, I got to work, I got to do this. But how many know we can still live for Jesus on a job? Especially in a marriage. Right, guys?
You got it.
I'm on my own now, right? How many know Jesus makes marriage much better? Amen? To be focused on him. Because sometimes I think we kindly compartmentalize, you know, this, you know, well, when I go to church, you know, it's all about Jesus. When I'm on the job, it's all about the job. When I'm out in the world, it's all about this. But how many know that is Jesus 24/7? Okay? But we have to learn to balance life with that. See, I'm learning that everything I go through, he goes through it with me. See, he don't abandon us just because we go through things. But we have to understand that even the hardest test that I will ever face, I'm realizing that Jesus is going to go through that hard test with me. See, but I got to keep my eyes focused on him. Okay? How many remember the story? I'm going to throw this in. I remember the story when Jesus come walking on the water and they thought he was a ghost, this and that. But long story short, that when he got to the boat, Peter said, if it's you, bid me come. Okay? And what happened? He said, come. Come. Now, how many know you just don't walk on the water just to be out there, you know, wanting to do something? Okay? Not unless you're a good swimmer. Okay? But how many know it wasn't so much the water that he walked on, but it was the word that he received? Come. Okay? Now, when you read that story, when you read that life situation, how many know this is a life situation? Okay? What was the life situation? Peter had asked to come to Jesus. Jesus had invited him to come. But in the midst of him coming, Jesus never told him, watch out for the waves and the wind. He never told it. He just said, come. He never told. Did Jesus know the wind? He knew it was going to happen, but did he? He didn't tell him. Kawhi, this is a life test. This is training ground for you, Peter. Okay? What could he get out of this? Okay? Go to that chapter. What chapter is it? Chapter of Matthew's chapter 14. See, if we're doing life Jesus' way, I mean, you know, well, I ain't going to get ahead of myself. We'll wait till I get to that. Okay. I think it's around, what, the 22nd verse? Okay. All right. And then, what is that he told them to come out? Okay. Immediately he made his disciples go, and they're going to the other side. Let's just move on down to verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Do what? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Listen, and Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." What happened here? He got a command, right? Okay. Verse 29, and he said what? Come. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Okay? When you read that, what is it saying? What happened here? Bingo. He took his eyes off Jesus. Can you see the wind? But you can see the effects of it. So what happened here was when he takes his eyes off of Jesus, immediately he began to what? Sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eyes on what? The circumstance or the difficult or the situation at hand.
Impossibility.
Yeah. Okay. He went back into himself and started thinking, whoa, wait a minute here, okay? But notice the wind and all these things begin to happen, but it distracted him from what? Focusing on Jesus, okay? So you and I can learn something from this. Why? Because when we get our eyes off of Jesus, sometimes what happens is we begin to do what? We become weary. We become troubled. Sometimes we face disappointments. Sometimes we face heartaches. Sometimes we cry. Okay? Are all those things bad? No. It's life. Remember Jesus said, "In the world you will have what? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." See, it's one thing for me to come in here and have big faith. But it's another thing when I go out there and I have big faith. You see, in here I'm drawing from all my brothers and sisters. I'm encouraged. I'm receiving. Okay? But then when we go out there, we're faced with what? The corruption of the world. Some people don't even care about us. Some people don't even like us. They could care less. Take your parking place. Blow their horn at you. Might even give you a sign or two. Okay? But as a believer, am I gonna let that distract me from following Christ? See, things are gonna happen, but we gotta keep our focus on Jesus. Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 3 says, you know, let us consider Jesus, who endured such hostility of sinners, okay, lest we grow weary in our minds. Okay, you got that? All right, let's look at that. I kind of trying to pace myself, okay? thought I had it down here somewhere. There it is. Okay. Yes, okay. He said, let us what? Let's go to verse 2. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Okay. So what is the joy that's keeping you focused? What is the joy that's keeping you focused? What do you enjoy? How many know when there's something you enjoy doing, it's not a burden, it's not a struggle, but you just enjoy doing it. And it's a delight to do it. What is that? That passion that you wake up with in the mornings and can't wait to get started. It might be coffee. I don't know.
It's funny that you're saying this because I literally was just talking about this yesterday. I told Mike, I feel like I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And see, you know, and we can grow weary in that. Because why? You know, we go through so much and we face so much and we give out so much, you know. But we got to learn how to refuel, okay? How to get in the presence of God and just sit, not asking for anything, but just focusing on Christ and him alone. Yes. Just him alone and just resting in him, okay? Because, see, Jesus wants us to get to the place to where the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Yeah.
Jonathan,
yes.
It strikes me that in the last couple, 3 years, I have become more and more aware of broken mm-hmm. world is that we're living in. And
yes.
I find myself saying, Jesus, be all right if you came back. So there's two things. One is that we live in a very broken world.
Yes, we do.
But the other thing is we're also pushing against a headwind of opposition and mm-hmm. spiritual, I mean, you know.
Yeah, warfare.
The enemy doesn't want us to keep on following Jesus. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's complicated. It's two things. It's really tough.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
for us to keep focusing and fix our eyes on him, mm-hmm. remind ourselves of the truth, mm-hmm. push back on the lies.
Mm-hmm.
I had an experience just recently of flying out of an airport on a rainy day. Mm-hmm. It just rained and it's gloomy and it just really, and then they hit that point where you break through the clouds and it's suddenly like you're in fairyland. There's canyons and mountains, white clouds and the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this life is walking through that valley of the shadow. It's raining and it's gloomy, but the mm-hmm. the truth is
mm-hmm.
the sun is shining.
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. God is real.
Still.
He's mm-hmm. in control. He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has laid the path out.
Yep.
But it takes a constant reminder to
yes.
hang on and
mm-hmm.
not peel
yeah.
off to the right or the left.
And you're exactly right. We experience those things. You know, but in those experiences, we have to become conscious, okay, that Christ is with us. He's going through this with me. See, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear him saying, okay? Jesus is our prime example, okay? He did not come and walk this earth as the God of creation. He came as the what? Son of man or the Son of God, okay? So what he did was he was led by the Spirit. Remember that when Jesus was, when he was growing up as a young boy, was he conceived naturally? But what was conceived in him was of the what? The Holy Spirit, right? But he grew, the Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. So as he growed, guess what he was doing? He was learning how to deal with life. See, some people think, well, you know, Jesus never faced anything. He just went to the cross and he died. That's where he suffered at. But he suffered when he was walking. Can you imagine your best friend dying and you go to the funeral and here you are raising the dead, but you crying? He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. So we got to be intact with our emotions. Why? Because emotions is not bad. I know sometimes we preach it as don't rely on your emotions, but how many know we all have emotional moments, even though Christ is with us? But we got to learn how to handle or how to harness the emotions. It's okay to cry. It's okay you're having a bad day. But guess what? Jesus is in that bad day with you. See, we got to be conscious of him being with us. Why? Because if we don't, we're going to burn out. Why? Because we're trying to make this thing happen when we're supposed to be resting. We're supposed to be trusting. Well, if I trust him, is that not? See, I think we have this mentality. If I really got faith in God, nothing bad will ever happen. But that's not true. That is not true. There was a teaching one time that if you go through anything, you don't have faith. But how many know that is that's a lie being taught? Why? Because when we go through things, how many know that sometimes we do come unglued? But guess who come unglued? Guess who's with us when we unglued? Jesus. He's still there. See, but we got to learn how to begin to we have this emotion experience, but we still got to be mindful that Christ is with me in this experience. He don't abandon me. The proof of that was when Peter stepped out on the water, you know, he could have said, now, I told you to come to me. Why did you go looking at the wave? He didn't chastise him. He just, when Peter hollered out, save me, he immediately did what? Reached down and picked him up. But, you know, my question, I'd like to know, did they walk back to the boat or did he tow him back? That's just me. I'm just. Yes, sir. Yes.
He did remind him that he got distracted from his faith.
Right.
And as you talk about going through these trials, Ed, that was an awesome, awesome example. And I just got to go through it in my head. You know, in that plane, that's probably not the first time that pilot had to do that. But he had the expectation and the knowledge that
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, as I continue to let that roll in my head, you know, the first time the storm might have been, he might have had 5 minutes to get to altitude.
Mm-hmm.
The next time he might have had 10 or 15 minutes to get to altitude.
Yeah.
But the result was the same.
Mm-hmm.
But he learned in the middle of that, well, I got to adjust my flaps this way. I got to adjust my speed that way, you know. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, exactly. And you said something very important, that he had been trained and he understood that I know how to get out of this. That was one time we was on a flight and the pilot, he spoke over the intercom and said, we're going to be climbing. What would you call that? The altitude?
Altitude.
We're going to be climbing because there was a storm. It was, you know, you kind of felt the turbulence, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, is this it? You know, we just rocking it. He said, don't fear, people. Don't fear. I'm going to go up a little bit. We're going to climb up and we're going to be fine. You know, and guess what? He could going up and he just smoothed out. Okay? But notice you got to go up, not down. We're growing up in Christ. See?
That's why it's so good for us to have some preparation.
Yes.
We go through a lot of good days, but we got to still continue in the same preparation.
Yes. Because
word and prayer and be ready.
Be ready, because he doesn't. Right. He doesn't change. You know, he's doing the changing, but he's changing us into his likeness. Okay? Yes, sir.
But when I was in Israel, you go up to Zion. When you go to Jerusalem, you go up, 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 up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, Lord. Yes. And it's a walk. It's a climb. Yes.
That's Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if anybody wants to go there. But I was going to tell you, the hard times is when they got back to the boat,
right.
And so sometimes I have to be willing to let my failure or lack of faith or hard time or struggle or challenge turn. I mean, the result was awesome. The disciples gave they were in awe of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Honestly, sometimes it's just not even about me.
Right.
It's about me allowing Jesus to use my hard time to show focus.
Yeah. Or even bring awareness to you that, Mary, you might be going through this, but I got you. I got you. You know, so that's the awareness that we want to have in the spirit that whatever we go through, you know, we read about these things and we think, well, you know, these people, they just had that God faith. But the Word of God said that the same word that was preached to them was preached to us. It didn't work for them because they didn't mix it with faith. So what he's saying is, you know, let's just go there. Let me read this to you, okay? We in Hebrews, right? Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you in chapter 4 in Hebrews, okay? For indeed we have had good news preached to us. How many of y'all have had some good news preached to you? How many have had some bad news preached to you? Okay. You know, and I think, you know, even with preaching the Word of God, I think we fail that it's the good news. Somebody will say, well, is it all good? Yes, it's all good. Even the part that you don't have to go to hell is good. Hebrews 4, chapter 4. And I mean, verse 2, he said, for indeed we have had the good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they hear did not profit them because it was not what? United or mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it. So what does that let us know? Even though when we hear the word of God, we have to appropriate the word of God by faith. See, the Bible in Romans says faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except he be sent? So what he's saying here is faith is, it comes about, and I shared this one time, you know, it kind of ruffled some feathers because I said, well, you know, you can't pray for faith. And I got it. What do you mean you can't pray for faith? That's the way you can. I said, no, sir. I can only go by what the words say. And I never read where the Bible said pray for faith. It said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the rhema that God is speaking. Not just the logos. We can read the logos, but the rhema, the word that's been breathed by the Spirit of God that brings life. See, this is the reality that we have in God, that the realness of him that's been revealed to us, that regardless of what we go through, we can be confident in him. That he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And not only that, he won't leave you, but he gave you a helper. Why did he give me a helper? Y'all said that like, yeah, that boy needs some help. Help him, Lord. You know, and them old saints go to saying, help him, Jesus. He's struggling to help him, Lord. You're right. I need it. Okay. But notice he said he will be with you what? Forever. See, he didn't. I'm not throwing off, but we minimize the Holy Spirit down to an emotional experience. When he's not sent to give me an emotional experience, he's sent to reveal God to me. See, to interpret this for me, to bring rhema to me. See, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He calls His word to be illuminated. And what we call rhema, the breath of God breathed on this word and it come alive. So that when we do go through, we have a hope. We have a hope. See, and that hope, it's a twofold hope. We have hope for eternity, but we have hope in this present time. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, what we're doing here, when we focus on Jesus, we're really focusing on, how many know that Jesus is really our elder brother? And He's teaching us how to depend on the Father. Because what Jesus did, if you want to know what the Father is like, read the four books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and some of the epistles, but mainly Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you see Jesus' experience, His encounter with things. And, you know, had they have came to me calling me Beelzebub and all these things, you know, I probably would have retaliated in the flesh, but Jesus just said, well, if I do this and your children do it, you know, hey, what can you say? If I cast out devil, well, who is your kids casting them out by? In other words, they call Him Beelzebub, the Lord of flies. I mean, just humiliated Him. Ain't went to the cross yet. Still got to walk this earth. You know, and the more I read that and the more I see the life of Jesus is, you know, I realize, hey, He went through so much more before He ever got to the cross. Okay? He said, for the joy that was set before Him. Let's look in Hebrews 2 for a second. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. How many know that His focus was on humanity, redeeming us back to God, bringing us back to the Father? Okay? Hebrews 2 and verse 10, let's read, okay? It says, for it was fitting for Him for whom all things and through whom all things in bringing many sons to glory to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. We don't want to get that out, right? Okay. Why is suffering, is it a bad thing? Somebody's, huh? Can be? Okay. Okay. But it's not always. Okay. Thank you for saying it's not always. Okay. All right. Do you know why we suffer? Have you ever thought about it? Makes you strong? Okay. All right.
And God uses it as a teaching tool and a shaping tool.
Okay.
He delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens our ears by adversity.
Okay. Good. Anybody else?
Because you can't help someone, you have to do it yourself.
Oh.
He uses it to
Okay. All right. Okay. So that gives you some compassion on other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. Anybody else? Why? Okay.
I say this, John.
Yes, sir.
A lot of times we suffer because it's our own perception.
It's our own doing.
It's like when the power goes out, those of us that went through the blizzard in 93, we was on the main highway. We didn't have power for 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some people were, oh, this is awful. You know, oh, we suffered. Well, we suffered. We couldn't have the meals that we had. Pot meals because they're cooking on a little burner and no lights, and, you know, the refrigeration and this and that. So you take your stuff and sit outside at night when it's cold. And, you know, yeah, we're suffering in a way, but it's just a thing. It's not, a lot of people, their perception was, oh, we're suffering. Oh, this is terrible. But it's not.
Okay.
It's not that bad. But the devil will try to turn things around and make us think
Exactly. And that's good. That's what he'll want to do. He'll want to magnify it. Okay. Okay. Good. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I read an Acts last night. It is through many tribulations that we
have entered the kingdom of God. Okay. Say that
again. It is through many tribulations that we have entered the kingdom of God.
Okay. 14:20. All right. Okay. She's just going to read that and run off. Okay. Is that? You just, okay. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
One aspect of suffering. I mean, I think a lot of us, okay, we're just victims because we live in a broken world, you know, and get the short of the stick. But there's another aspect of it. The great commandment, love God, love our neighbor.
Neighbor.
Mm-hmm. When you try to do that, when you try to love someone, you open your heart up and you take risks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you open your heart up like that, you're going to suffer. You're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Did. He loved us and he got really hurt.
Oh, yes, he did.
So part of that suffering is not a negative thing. It's an obedience following Jesus and allowing ourselves to be open to suffer because trying to love other people.
Okay, good. You had your hand up, Susan.
I was just going to say, I feel like it's part of the offering. When you talk about being the author and the finisher of our faith, he's writing it out.
Mm-hmm.
The Peter that you saw, walking on the water, he learned something that day.
That's right.
Same thing that he learned when Christ had the conversation with him that night. He says, you know, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knew what he was fixing to do. He knew he was going to fall down, but he knew he had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to draw that purpose out of him. Sometimes when we don't go through things, we don't go through that refiner's fire, and we don't go through these tribulations, God's pulling us along on that path to draw him closer and closer to us, closer into our calling, closer into his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the songs we sing, the things that come out of me now are not the things that would have come out of me 20 years ago. But after some of the things that I went through and I've had to lean strong when it doesn't look like a way out, brings you to a place where he's not your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
He is your first and only one.
There you go.
He is your strength.
Uh-huh. He's still there. Yeah. Oh, he
goes. I just want to say something to Kelly because she said something while ago that touched my heart. Because sometimes when you feel like you're going through those days and you don't have like that passion or whatever, sometimes it's just making those obedient steps day in and day out. And one day you wake up and it's like it's there again. But sometimes I feel like it's that season of will you continue to follow me, even when it don't feel good.
What did you say, miss?
That we're walking by faith.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And two, you know, it is a learning process when we don't feel it, just to begin to trust him even though I don't feel it. See, he's teaching us to trust him not based on a feeling, but based on who he is and what he has said. That's where faith comes in. See, I don't need faith if I know what the outcome is going to be. I only need faith when I'm going through this and I don't see the outcome, but my faith is in a God that cannot lie. See, and we quote the scripture, well, you know, call those things that be not as though they were. You know, Jesus, he spoke to the dead and they came alive. So we have to rely upon his word and speak what his word is saying to us. See, and when the Bible says, for we have a faithful high priest, You know, we have to have a good confession. Why? Because we need to be saying the same thing that Jesus is saying about us. That's what confession says. It says the same thing that was said to you. That's my confession. Jesus said, I'm a conqueror. I'm a conqueror. Jesus said, I'm coming through this. I'm coming through it. See, the question is this. You know, what have Jesus said? He told the disciples, he said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, we're going to get in the boat, we're going to face a storm, but we're going to go to the other side, boys. He didn't say that. He said, we are going to the other side. But he didn't tell us what was going to happen between leaving here and getting here. He didn't tell us that. But that's where faith comes in, because he said, I'm going to the other side. If I have to swim, if I have to get another boat, I'm going to the other side. Right? Why? Because Jesus said that. And that's where my faith is in what he said. Okay? But notice what it said here. Okay, I've got to have my glasses to read this. He said, for it was fitting for him, I could read us just to save time, but it was fitting for him for whom all things and through whom all things and bringing many sons to the glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. Okay? So when he went through suffering, how many know that when we go through suffering, sometimes we go through because we have ceased from sinning. Sometimes when we suffer, sometimes it's because we have ceased from sinning and the temptation and the trials that come against our flesh. Why? Because we have ceased from that, but the temptation is to go back into it. But when we suffer, we say, I'm not going back into it, even though the flesh is suffering, because I won't let it have its way. So he want to flush. He want to flush it out and make me feel bad. Tell me, oh, you need to go back to doing this. You need to do this. No, I don't need to do nothing but what God said. Right? So he perfect these things. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author. He knows what's going on here. That's why we fix our eyes on him. See, so with that said, okay, let's look at Colossians, okay? Because the Bible says that he is the author. He's beginning. That author means that he's beginning. He's the originator, right? All things come through him, okay? And notice it said there, all things come through him. Let's look at Colossians, the first chapter and the 13th verse, okay? All things consist through him. Okay? So when we are in this world, as Brother Ed has stated, you know, we're in a broken world. I mean, you know, when we understand, we got to understand that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Okay? Now, how many of you heard that time and time before? Okay. All right, what does that really mean? In other words, I'm not governed by this world system. Mm-hmm. I'm not governed by the world system. My government now is the kingdom. Yep. And he governs me, okay? I'm yoked up with him, okay? You know, and I was thinking of this word yoked, you know. And in the old Babel times, you know what they would do when they would take the older ox. He coming out now, Jim. No. They would take the older ox. Watch this. Mr. Bibler is a strong man. Can you help me out for a minute? No, he don't want to help me. Okay, all right. Jeff, would you help me out, sir? That's all right. I done been told no a lot this morning. I'm ready for it now.
Can I share one thing? To piggyback on what he says, we're round pegs in a square hole.
Okay.
In this world. We're never going to fit in.
No.
Because this isn't our home.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the simple answer is, if Jesus suffered and we're like him,
we're going to suffer.
Then we're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So if I'm going to be Christ-like, and that was part of his character, mm-hmm. then we're going to have to do that.
Okay.
Because you know? This isn't our home.
No.
We're always going to have that resistance.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, Jeff is the older one, okay? Now, he don't look that, but I'm just using.
You're getting off to a bad start. Okay.
All right. But for me and him to get yoked up, they would hook the young ox mm-hmm. with the older ox, and they yoke them together. Mm-hmm. And guess what happens? The older ox leads the younger one. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now I got to...
Yeah. It's kind of like a waltz. Two steps forward, one step forward.
Okay. So now I'm yoked up with him, mm-hmm. but I'm learning from who? The older ox. Okay?
And you know what? You use two.
Okay.
You have to do two of the same kind.
Go ahead.
You couldn't put an oxen with a mule.
No.
You got to put two of the same.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Give Jeff a hand. He did good. Amen. All right. So, but Jesus was teaching when he said in Matthew 11, and I think it's 28, he said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn from me. See, learn from me. If I suffered, learn from how I endured suffering. Learn from me. See, but when we're going through, when you in a crisis, it's the wrong time to try to learn something. Oh, you understand that, okay? So, exactly, you're in survival mode now. I ain't thinking about what that, but listen, we start learning now. We learn now from him. We learn from him, okay? Yes, sir.
William Booth.
Mm. Okay.
And I think it's like the currency of the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, and that's the thing, you hit the belief. See, our belief system has to conform to the new government. Okay? And we won't have time, but we'll start there next week. We're entering to the new government because that's what Colossians 1 and 13 is going to let us know, that he rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his son, okay? But we'll store there next Sunday because I got 1 minute, okay? So we're learning from him, okay? How do you learn?
Keep your eyes open and
listen.
Listen? By the things he suffered.
How are we going to know what he suffered if we don't read? Okay? How are we going to learn how to pray if we don't get to doing prayer? See, prayer should be one of the joyful things that the believer can experience. Why? Because that's communicating communion with God. See, but we got to cherish praying. Why? Because that's where we commune with him. That's where we talk to him. And prayer is just not, well, I pray for my four and no more, you know, bless me here, bless. That's shadow prayer. I'm talking about really praying. God, I thank you that you kept me through this day. Lord, I thank you that I don't feel the passion right now, but God, I know it's there because you put it there. See, and just sometimes you just might want to turn on some just worship music and just sit there and soak. You know why? Because these things right here is what refreshings us in God's nature and his kindness, his goodness, his mercy. You know, why? Because we partake of these things through what? Intimacy with him. Okay? And so when we go through things and we have prepared ourselves and went through the process, it's not going to change things from coming, but it's going to change us how we go through it. Okay? We'll talk about more next Sunday on that. All right? Father, we thank you for our time today. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in the service today. We just give you praise in advance, Lord, and we say thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, the lives that will be touched. And, Lord, we pray over our children ministries, God, that you touch them in special ways, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.